Farmers are getting out of farming at an alarming rate. Why? We've got that story first. Welcome to the Business News Hour for Tuesday, the 30th day of April. Thanks, as always, for being with us again today, everybody. The markets, well, they closed mixed today. We've got some big-time trouble in Wisconsin. Meat prices are headed up, so too will your steak. Facebook gets a facelift. Those stories, the markets, and some time with the state director of the Small Business Administration for Iowa, Jane Armstrong. We'll be talking about disaster relief in flooded areas and National Small Business Week that kicks off on Sunday. Plus, we're going to lift up a couple of great names in the small business world. Jane Armstrong today for the interview. But first, the business news headlines.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Arion, human resources, payroll, and call center help for businesses. AURION.com. AARP of Iowa. Real possibilities. AARP, Iowa. The Business News Hour, also presented by Tero International, your elite training team at TERO.com. The business news is next.
Hey, thanks again, Hunter Pease, and welcome back to the Tuesday edition of the Business News Hour. I'm your host, Michael Libby. You can reach out to us on Twitter. Me personally, you can find me on Twitter at Michael Libby. For the broadcast, we are at IOB_NewsHour. But while it's not yet as bad as the 1980s farm meltdown, it seems like lots of the signs are there. Farmers are selling out and getting out, all in the face of lousy commodity prices and lingering trade wars. According to Reuters, growing numbers of grain farmers are choosing to shed their machinery and find renters for their land, all to stem the financial strain on their families. As these older grain farmers are retiring, fewer younger people are lining up to replace them. While auction houses are winning, it's putting a major strain on the farming community and the entire agricultural supply chain. Think of it. Fewer farmers means fewer customers for seed and chemical companies, fewer machinery buyers, and fewer suppliers for grain merchants. Times were once very different. In the wake of the U.S. recession of 2007 and 2008, the lure of high grain prices drew young people from the city jobs to their families' farm fields. By 2012, farm profits were flourishing as corn and soybean prices soared amid global demand and tight supplies. For the first time in decades, the number of producers aged 44 or younger in the Midwest actually grew. All of this, according to data from the USDA, from the financial crisis in 2008 through 2012, younger farmers increased by more than 40% in Iowa and Illinois, nearly 57% in Indiana, and 60% in Kansas. Farmer retirement rates are not tracked by either state or U.S. government agencies, but federal data shows the ranks of farmers are gradually aging. The average age of a U.S. farm operator was 57 and a half years old in 2017, up from 54 years old in 1997. The number of farms, well, that's shrinking too, as the industry increasingly is consolidated either into the hands of large-scale operators or tiny niche crop growers. Mid-sized farms, those with annual sales of more than $50,000 but less than $5 million, continue to dwindle. For many families, leaving farming is a painful but simple calculation. The trade war with China, set off by tariffs imposed by the Trump administration, has lasted nearly 10 months, and many simply can't pull out a decent living anymore. And that brings down rural communities that are already struggling. The crisis in the Farm Belt. Stay tuned. In another ag-related story, while grain prices are lousy, meat prices are climbing. And that's going to have an impact on restaurants of all sizes. Today, McDonald's warned investors its 2019 commodity costs in the United States could rise by as much as 3%, more than the 1-2% inflation it had forecast just 3 months ago. Brewhouse chain BJ's Restaurants Incorporated last week said it's expecting increases in pork prices, while China's KFC operator said spiking poultry costs will weigh down margins for the rest of the year. While yesterday there was a story that inflation was not just there, it's stories like this that makes us think that higher prices are not that much further away. Higher menu prices come on top of the more expensive sodas and diapers Americans are already ponying up for in the grocery aisles. That may get the attention of Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell and his colleagues as they watch for signs that inflation is finally perking up. Well, stocks ended the day mixed as Google parent company Alphabet posted their worst quarter in 6 years. Alphabet fell by 7.5%, posting its worst day since October of 2012. The company reported revenue of $36.3 billion, well short of the $37.3 billion that was expected. So what happened? Well, the weaker revenue was driven by the decelerating ad sales growth at Google. Dow finished up, the NASDAQ was down, and the S&P 500 was up a fraction. I'll share all the numbers later in the newscast. In a stunning story out today in the Wall Street Journal, we get a peek at what very well may be a massive failure in international trade. 6 miles west of Lake Michigan lies a clearing building site, half as big as Central Park, ready for Foxconn Technology Group's $10 billion liquid crystal display factory. Contractors have bulldozed about 75 homes in Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin, and cleared hundreds of farmland acres. Crews are widening Interstate 94 from Milwaukee to the Illinois state line to accommodate driverless trucks and thousands of employees. Village and county taxpayers have borrowed around $350 million so far to buy land and make infrastructure improvements, from burying sewer pipes to laying storm drains. One thing, though, is largely missing from all of this. Foxconn, the company for whom all of this is being done. President Trump and Foxconn Chairman Terry Gao hatched the factory plan back in 2017, and both attended last summer's gold shovel groundbreaking in Mount Pleasant, which is about 20 miles south of Milwaukee. As of December 31st, the Taiwanese manufacturing giant, famous as an Apple supplier, had spent only $99 million, 1% of its pledged investment, according to its state filings. The company projected as many as 2,000 in-state employees by the end of 2019, but had fewer than 200 at last year's end. The village is still awaiting factory building plans for review. Locals said Foxconn contractors have recently been scarce on the site. The impact on Mount Pleasant, by contrast, is palatable. Its debt rating has slipped. Local politicians have become fraught. Neighbors have fallen out over land seizures. And a word has been added to the vocabulary there. That word, pretending. Locals in Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin, are suggesting that maybe the company is pretending it's coming. But what if it all goes up in smoke? How serious is it? Well, here's just one example. The village of Mount Pleasant had bought farmland and home sites, hoping to transfer them to Foxconn for expansion. This month, the city board voted to lease back 966 acres to a farmer for $170,000 a year after the city bought the property from him last August for $1.7 million. Pretending can be costly. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg today unveiled an overhaul of the social network's website and mobile app. The new design is meant to get users to participate more in group conversations as Facebook works to curb abusive content. The company removed its well-known blue banner, moved to a new color scheme, and made other changes to emphasize groups, not just people's friends. Zuckerberg, the chief executive officer, announced all of these things in March and said that the company would focus more on private communication. It's always something. Well, it was not a good day today for the tech-heavy NASDAQ. The index slid by 0.6% after reaching an all-time high just yesterday. The NASDAQ closed at 8095. Meanwhile, the Dow rose by 38 points to close at 26,592, and the S&P 500 climbed fractionally to 2945. Alphabet fell 7.5% today, posting its worst day since October of 2012 after reporting revenue of $36 billion in the first quarter versus the $37 billion that was expected. The weaker revenue? Well, it was decelerating ad sales growth at Google. Dow component McDonald's posted quarterly earnings and revenue that topped analyst expectations. Global same-store sales grew by 5.4% in the first quarter, more than the 3.4% increase that had been expected. The burger chain is ramping up its promotional programs. And then General Electric reported better-than-expected first-quarter earnings today, sending its shares up by 4.6%. In other news, White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney said today the Trump administration's trade talks with China will be resolved within the next 2 weeks. Have we heard that before? This week's focal point will be the Federal Reserve's policy decision and press conference that happens tomorrow. Gold was up today by $8.80 to close at $1,285.30 an ounce. Oil gained a penny and ended the day at 63.51, and the 10-year T-note is paying 2.5%. That's right, 2.5%. Hey, when we come back, Jane Armstrong is the Iowa Division Director for the Small Business Administration. We'll be talking about National Small Business Week, disaster recovery, and small businesses, as well as lifting up some great Iowa small business names. Stay with us. Jane Armstrong from the SBA, coming up next.